Well, good evening. We're going to start a little three-part series tonight. Sometimes there's some things that we just need to cover, and we can't do it all in one night, so we're going to kind of stretch it out a little bit. And our title tonight for our series is My Way or the Highway, A New Life in Christ. So it's not that God's throwing us out, but he is making some determinations of how it's going to be. And I just wanted to review some things for us. We will have some scriptures for you to look up and write down in there. There are no handouts for this. You can just, you know, take your notes or do whatever on that. But I just wanted to remind us that whether we like to admit it or not, all of mankind is born with a sinful nature. Now, some people don't admit that. There's a book that came out years ago that says, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, after I came to know the Lord, I knew that that was an incorrect title. It's, I'm not okay and neither are you, you know, type thing. But we're born with a sin nature. So we have to understand that a bit. Because of that sin nature, we need righteousness from God, because that sin nature is far from his measure, and it can't be in his presence. So if we ever want to approach God, it has to be on his terms, because see, we're the lower of the two. We don't have the same capacity. So if we want to approach God, it has to be on his terms. That's why it's, I put that little title in there, you know, My Way or the Highway. And that really is how it is with God, because he is so perfect. Nothing unclean can be in his presence. So it really is a my way or the highway, because you can't be there. Now, it may sound a little harsh to be proclaiming my way or the highway, as I mean, that's a colloquial expression, so to speak, in terms of our relationship with God, but it has to be that way because of who we are and who he is. So if anyone is really honest with themselves before God, they're going to know that man's way always falls short of everything, of everything we really need, everything we really want, all the things that we seek. So when you put that comparison in there, it really has to be his way. We have to meet him on his conditions. Now, born to destruction and detached from God, that's us, born to destruction and detached from God, it means, some people don't like to hear that, if you're born to destruction and detached from God, it only means one thing: you're destined for hell. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't, oh, there is no hell. Well, when you die and you get there, it's a heck of a time to find out there's no hell, you know, when there is one and you're in it. So it's really something that you have to understand. It's not a belief system. It's not a church doctrine. That it, we always encourage people, it's not belief systems we seek, it's the truth. The truth being, we didn't do what Adam did. Adam did. He did it. And after that point, every one of us were born with a nature lower than God, with holes in it, and is what is considered by God's standards unclean, impure, unrighteous. So, in finding out this truth, it really ought to open up eyes. So when you seek God, you're going to find God. And when you find God, you're going to find the truth. And some people don't like it, but there also is going to be an accountability before God for everyone. And that is between each individual and God. So it really is better to find that truth and then align our lives up with the Lord in Jesus. So if we're born to destruction and we're born detached, separate from God, then what's the alternative? Well, don't you think it would be a new life? I'm born with a dead one. Well, you'd think I'd want a new life. Well, I do. And that little stirring was in all of our hearts and all of us in, well, as I look over, all of us in here tonight are in that new life in the Lord. It's not an easy life. And we are not perfect in that life, but it is a new life. And because we have a new life, we have so much more. And this life is a life in which our sins are forgiven. The stench, it's sort of like, you know, that poopy diaper type situation. You know, No one with a poopy diaper, I'm going to kind of make it the message Bible here. No one with a poopy diaper can be in the presence of God. You know, that's what it is. You can't bring your dirt. You can't bring your death. You can't bring your filth and your stench into the presence of God. So when we get that new life, what we do is get a life that doesn't have that stench. It doesn't have that sentence of death. Our sins have been obliterated. They're gone. They're removed. Now, that's really hard to understand because sometimes I'll sin. Sometimes I'll be impatient or I'll be angry, even after coming to know the Lord. But God understands the handicap. It's not an excuse to sin, but He understands when we stumble that our sins are already not held against us. And if you do have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be quick to repent. God, I am so sorry. I either forgot that, or I just got so rebellious and I just did what I wanted to do, or something foolish. If that isn't there, then you don't have that new life. That repentance truly needs to be there. And with the Spirit of God ruling within, it will. Now, there's a point that we can reach, and there's a lot of people who have an intellectual understanding of God. You can be convinced that you need a new life, but I always ask people, are you willing? I mean, you talk to me about it. You talk about God. You talk about Jesus. You talk about redemption and salvation. I mean, you have a head knowledge of it, but are you really willing to go after that? Are you really willing to receive that new life? Do you really understand you need a new life? A lot of people don't. I'm fine. How many times have we all heard, oh, God knows my heart? Yeah, I know. That's pretty dangerous territory. He does know your heart.
Yeah, he does.
And if you're not with Him, you're not going to be with Him. You know, it's a gift. He's giving us a free gift, but you have to take it. Because can you imagine someone forcing it on you? Here's a gift. No, thank you. Take it. You know, it's not a gift. It's being pushed into your face, and He's not going to do that. The new life that God talks about, except for our people here. Let me say, as you're pointing to each other, we tend to, here, take it. Yeah, I want you to have this. Please take these clothes. Take this money, please. You know, very, very kind and caring and loving people here. And I love our precious little church family. But the new life that God's talking about is free. You don't have to pay some church for it. You don't have to mail away for it. You don't have to do anything for it. It really is free. And it doesn't mean it's cheap because, you know, the old saying, you get what you pay for. You know, well, if you don't pay anything, you don't get much, you know. You're going to get something free. Usually I know why it's free. It's got holes in it, or you sat on it and it broke. I mean, you know, no, that's not where it is. The reason God says it's a free gift is that if He forced it on you, it would be like spiritual rape. He will not force Himself on you. He will not make you love Him. Because the only way you can show God you love Him is to obey Him. Mm-hmm. And to obey Him is to come under to submission of Jesus and what He has done in the new covenant that God has for us. So this new life is free, but it's not cheap. That is for sure. And it's freely given to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. Now, those here are listening to this, and I just want to encourage us that even though we may understand it, may God open up something new tonight. May God really press something in. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. And I wanted to run by what this free gift is. Oh, I have the free gift of salvation. But let's review just a little bit about this new life, this free gift, what it entails. Becoming a new creature. I have these scriptures. I absolutely love these scriptures because they so zoom in on it. It's not just me telling you what I think in my opinion. This free gift in Jesus Christ, you actually become a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Okay, that settles it. The old things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. With Him inside, you will be different. It may take a little time to manifest because you won't even understand it yourself, but there will be new thinking. There will be new feelings. There will be new desires. You won't be longing and craving after the craven things of life you may have previously. To lie, it's just not going to feel comfortable anymore. To be selfish, to be greedy, it just doesn't fit in there anymore. I'm just not leaning toward that. Any the unfaithfulness and the infidelities and the all the things that people go after and the drunkenness and the carousings, and it's just like, you know, I'm not coming against you all who might still be doing that, but inside of you, it's like, you know, there's just no drive. There's no power. There's no desire really to do that. Now, other people, they may struggle in some things that they understand God says to put away. But when you get this new motor inside, it is going to run a totally different way than what the Adam nature does. And then this free gift is that you pass from death to life. Now, if you're an alien and just came down and we're sitting here tonight, you might want to think about it. So, wow, that sounds good. You go from death to life. Who the heck wouldn't want that? And in John, the 5th chapter, 24th verse, John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, this is Jesus speaking, and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Well, this is sounding good all the time, this new life. But see, the basic understanding has to be there. If you don't understand that you have a broken nature, that you are unclean in the sight of a clean and perfect God, and you cannot be in his presence with that nature in you and ruling you, if it is not superseded, if it is not covered by the blood of Jesus, then all this is going to be foolishness to you. You're not going to want a new life. You're going to take the junk that you have here. Some people are lucky down here, and some people are unlucky. Some people have good things, and some people have bad things. I don't want to live like that. I don't want cum si, cum sa. I don't want my life just tossed about like in the wind. There is power and control and direction in God. And you come to that God through Jesus Christ. And then we understand that we get transferred from this death and darkness that's ruling you. This stuff actually rules us and we don't realize it. Those thoughts, those unkindnesses, the unforgiveness, all of these things are things that are not from God. The hatreds, the angers, the dissensions, the factions, the disputes, the immoralities, the witchcraft, and the rebellions. All of these things, they're listed. They're the deeds of the flesh. This is not from a holy God, and the most amazing thing that continually amazes me is that all of the things that are evil that happen, the most devastating things, the sexual abuse and the abandonment of the children and the wars and the death and the diseases and all the junk that's on this earth and everything that is pure evil, the Jeffrey Dahmers in the world, the people that kill each other and eat their bodies, and two young boys, I just heard in the news, lured a young 12-year-old into their home and killed her for her bike. This is like a 13 or a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old brother. Now, this is pure evil. Mm-hmm. It's not two kids not knowing what they're doing. Now, maybe, you know, you pushed her off her bike. That would have been stupid. But to kill her for her bike, it is pure evil. And yet people will end up shaking their fist at God. What a deception out of the pit of hell. This is pure evil, and it comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil, not from God. That God that people are shaking their fist at is the only God that can rescue you from this in you. Now, sometimes God does not stop others' sin against us. And when he does that, there is purpose. Even if the thing that happens is a horror, there's a purpose in God. He didn't cause the thing, but because he doesn't stop something, he's going to do something with it. So people are just shaking their fist at the wrong thing, and that's part of the deception of the evil one. People thinking that they're okay. How many times have you heard, God is so good, everyone's going to go to heaven when they die? Well, see, but you're forgetting the basic thing. It's my way or the highway type thing, and that's not unfair and unkind of God. Nothing unclean can be in his presence. Without the cleansing blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the new covenant being upon you, you are unclean and cannot be in his presence. Has nothing to do with your good works. You can do 1,000 good works and still be filthy. The only place for filth is where other filth is, and that's hell. That is where every craven, ugly, demonic, evil thing is going to be forever. And if you are not detached from that and redeemed by the living God in Jesus Christ, then that's where you're going to be. It has nothing to do with, well, I like some people and don't like some, and I'm going to love some and I'm going to punish some. This has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with what people misunderstand of predestination. They actually believe that God is predestined who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell. No matter what you do, you're going to go one place or the other. Well, that can't be, because that isn't perfect justice, you see. That isn't perfect judgment, so it can't be God. It's man's understanding, but it's not God. You see, he already clarified, I don't want anyone to perish. So he cannot, based on him saying that, he cannot just decide to put some in hell and some in heaven. He already doesn't want anyone to perish. But will they? Yes, because as an addendum, he's given mankind free will. Why free will? Same reason for free gift. Shoving it down your throat would be spiritual rape. It cannot happen with a perfectly just and pure God. So we get transferred from this death and darkness, ruling you. Now that's another reason why we want that new life in there. This new life is really good, because these other things are ruling you, whether you know it or not. How many times do you say, well, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that. God's not going to lead you ever to sin. He will never, the Spirit of God will never lead any of us to sin or to evil. So any sin and evil has not come from God. And in Colossians 1, verse 13, well, I tell you, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Whoa! Sometimes we just forget this. We're so blessed of God. We're living in that salvation. We're working out that salvation and putting away this, crucifying the flesh and letting God reign. Sometimes we forget his whole plan from the beginning. He knew that man would fall. He knew that man, in his weakness, being lower than the angels, higher than the animals, he knew that man would fall ahead of time. He made Adam and Eve knowing that they would turn on him. Because he said, I have a greater plan. It's not going to depend on you. It's going to depend on me. And everyone who fails, I'm going to send myself as my son, only begotten one, to redeem those who come to me. Whoa. Transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then this free gift, you get to be born all over again into a new life. Wow. How many times have you said, if I had that to do over again? Well, you can't go back. But in Jesus Christ, you can. You can be born again. In John 3:3, Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And born of water and spirit means a cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. And best of all, now some people, I've seen birthday cards which say something about, happy birthday, and then to someone who was really unique or something, and you open it up, it says, because you actually married into our family. You know, sometimes your families are a little crazy, but with the free gift from God, you actually get a whole new family line and are adopted by God. And in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5, I love this, the way it says, but when the fullness of time came, meaning God was in charge of when Jesus came. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, meaning the covenant that God made, that he was going to have a Messiah, that Abraham was going to have, be the father of many nations, all these things, but it was all under law. So he was born under the law in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, because that's all we ever had before Jesus came. And then we, after Jesus, can receive adoption as sons, because those before Jesus came under the promise in terms of being his children, and then we are adopted in after that, again, through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in Galatians verse 7, this is powerful. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. I love the word that's used. A slave, meaning to death and darkness. but you are a son. Even in today's modern world, we understand the difference between a slave in a household and the son in a rich man's household. We have gone from slave to son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. Whoa. In slavery, you just had death and darkness. But in a son makes you an heir to receiving what? Life and light in the Lord. Now, who in the world wouldn't want it? You get eternal life, a new personal relationship with God, and also a new spiritual vitality. People forget about that. There is... It doesn't mean you won't have some dark days and some hard times. Every one of us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But boy, I tell you, there is a spiritual vitality. Some of our songs of worship, you know, this evening, you know, those words, they just are so great to worship, to sing those out to the Lord. There's a new, with this new life comes a new spiritual vitality, a new life down here while we await his return. Because what's yet to come is really good. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what yet awaits you. Okay, I'll take that. You've done everything really pretty big so far, so that's going to be good. But in the meantime, I'm down here. But with the new life, you get that new way down here while you're waiting for him to return. All of this, and in a life where you will never die. I go, wow, this is looking good. And it's free. There isn't anything free today. The old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Someone's paying for it. If it's free for you, someone else is paying for it. But with God, same thing for us. It is a free gift. It's a free salvation. But Jesus paid for it with his life. Now, in this series, I want to cover three areas. The need for this new life. That was describing what the new life is. I want to describe the need for this new life, the way to this new life, and the results of this new life. And I want to encourage you to take notes and kind of think on these things and have these teachings become a part of your inner being. And the reason I say that is because even though many of us know this already, by going over this, by kind of soaking in the presence of the Lord, surrounding us with what's being shared over the next few weeks, it'll strengthen those of us who are already walking in this. It's going to really fill our hearts. Excuse me. And it's the framework for you. Yes, you, each and every one out there here tonight and listening to what is being shared. This is a framework for you to share this very thing with others. Many people have contact with others with email and their families. I'm not saying to sit down and write a sermon to them. I'm just saying when this becomes part of you, it's what you speak, it's what you think, it's who you are. To understand the treasure we have in the free gift of God. To understand the value of being a son of the living God. To understand who we really were born as. Frail, sinful critters leaning to everything away from God. And in Jesus Christ, a magnificent turn occurs. And those who continue to seek that with all their might are going to grow even closer and closer to the Lord. They're going to be less and less of themselves. And they're going to start having some of the things they've truly desired. I'm not talking about the houses and the cars now. I'm talking about some of that inner turmoil being gone, even in the midst of disaster. Some of that security. Some of that joy. So many people look at their circumstances to get a measure of joy. As soon as the circumstances change, the joy is gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I don't want to live like that because a lot of circumstances have changed. Talk about, most people, their lives are like an EKG reading. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. the QRST wave, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. No, I don't want my life like that. And neither do you. But in the Adam nature, all you have is up, down, up, down, up, down, herky, jerky, herky, jerky. God can make it right, even in the midst of any of our storms. So, and I'm going to encourage some of you, get your families together to go over some of this stuff. Get your friends to meet in your homes. Did anyone ever think of that? Is it just go to church? Did you ever think of sharing this with anyone else? You can listen to the series again on the website. You can listen to it. Take some notes from there. Play it when you have four or five friends around where you can actually discuss it, where you can have this become part of your life. Pour over it. Be honest with God and make sure that none of us just acknowledge or know about his gift of a new life in him, but that you actually have it, that you're actually living that new life. Not as law now, not as law, but as life flowing life, with a gusto, with a vitality. This is a great adventure in God. I don't know where these people are going around going, they're Christians, and you might as well be playing da 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 wherever they go. It's like a funeral dirge. Now, it doesn't mean, and God says to, you know, to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. I mean, you know, you don't want to be inappropriate at a funeral and going, hey, isn't Jesus wonderful? I mean, you know, come on. We don't ever want to have faith throw away common sense here. But I'm talking about there's a real adventure. I don't know about you. This is more of an adventure since I came to know the Lord 36 years ago or something than I ever had before Him. I never know what's going on. I'm a person who would be in control, take authority, do what I knew, do whatever. Giving your life over to the Lord is a scary thing. Oh, I got to check with you, Lord. What am I supposed to do? Whatever. It's a back and forth thing. But He has never failed, and every one of you who really know Him are going to admit that. You have what you need when you need it. And boy, there's a tremendous security in that. So a lot of gusto, a lot of vitality. People should say, wow, I want what you have. And they're not talking about your clothes or your car. There's that inner sense, that peace that is there, that understanding that is there, that it's just something different that's there. There's like a confidence. And it isn't in the world, because the world is crumbling around us, if anyone hasn't noticed. But it's very, very powerful. So in understanding the need for this new life, and I'm just going to cover a couple more things before we finish up here. The need for this new life. First up, like I said before, we have to realize God is not human. He is God. To have a need for this new life, you have to realize that God is not one of us. And that godness that He has means that He's in perfect goodness and power and wisdom and every good thing, none of which we have or none of which we can match. You might have a goodness in you. Some people are just good people. You know, they're nice people, they're pleasant people, they like to be around others. Some people are extremely generous or extremely kind or whatever. Those are wonderful. They're little vestiges of the spiritual nature, but they've been warped by the Adam nature, so they only go so far. You're only going to be kind till usually someone's unkind to you. You're only going to be generous till you're ripped off. You're only going to love someone until they stop loving you. You know, it's just like, we have the Adam nature has these little vestiges of the God nature, because that's where it started, but they're broken. So when you understand, we're not like Him. He is the perfect of the perfect. And there's a huge gap between our best of the best. Whatever we have as a over all of mankind, all the smartest, most brilliant, most rich, whatever it is, there's a huge gap between the best of our best and God's least. Which, for the record, He doesn't have any least, but, you know, anyways, if there was a least, we don't even match up to His least. Now, because of this unevenness, this humongous chasm, this humongous gap, there's no way for us to bridge that gap. We're like, it's like running a marathon with a winner. I mean, I'm roughly 4 and 5 hours behind them. You know? And so there's no way to bridge that gap. I'm going to have to become a marathoner. You see what I'm saying? I don't have what that person has. So as a human being in the Adam nature, I don't have what God has. But I can get what God has in the new life. And another point in this gap here, remember now, God is holy. And when you look at that original meaning for the word holy, it means set apart. So He ain't even here. He ain't even with us, so to speak. He's set apart. He's apart, away from, meaning anything that's unclean, unrighteous, unholy, and wrong, greed, anything. He is not involved with sin. But if anyone hasn't noticed, sin dominates our living space down here. So there's this huge gap. Now, this is where we run into a problem. If you want to look at it logically here, any of the logical people listening, any of the intellectual people listening, God is set apart from us. You know, the holy thing I talked about. he has no sin and can have nothing to do with sin because his set-apartness means that he lives in absolute righteousness and goodness. So because of that, he isn't going to approach us on our terms. What are we going to have to do? Like I said earlier, we have to approach God on his terms because he's the perfect one. So only the perfect can be with the perfect. Now, the Adam nature tends to grade itself with an A when it really isn't F minus, 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 minus. So our pride tends to say, I've met your measure, God. Some people are so prideful they even stand there and go, there is no God. I am the one in charge of my destiny. Boy, I'll tell you, that's pride. Now, see, is that a vestige of God's nature? Well, it didn't start out on Adam as pride. It started on Adam as confidence. And by him sinning, it turned into pride. You know, love that they had, the love of God, after they were thrown out of the garden, after that sin, it became lust. So you see, the generosity, this abundance, then it became greed. Lack, you know, they had plenty, then it became lack. I mean, every single thing they had in the garden turned into the exact opposite. It was fractured. It was broken. So we have imperfections slathered all over us because of what Adam did. So the only way to get in God's presence is to have a new life, one in which we're separated from sin and not separated from God. So if he's separated from sin, and in Jesus Christ we become separated from sin, voila, we can then be what? Present with the one who is separate from sin. It's just absolutely amazing. And you know, hello, anyone out there? This is the good news of the gospel. You can have a new life in Christ, because the only thing that's going to get you in God's presence is a new life. Because of what God did in Jesus, we can be in his presence, stay in his presence, and I love it, because he said that we can do that. How long? A couple weeks, 6 months, maybe a life, you know, 110 years? Forever. While we're here, we can be in his presence. Even though we're not perfect, he still allows us to come into his presence, to hear what he has to say, to understand, to get revelation, to be taken care of. And then after this body has finished its tour here, then our spirit goes. God has another body waiting for us, one that has to be perfect because this imperfect thing can't be there. So there has to be another exchange that goes on, new life and new body. Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but as I was going over these things and trying to put them together, man, I was jumping around. I'm going, yes, Lord, yes, yes. You know, if anyone could see me prepare a sermon at home, I'd be kind of, you know, walk around. I go, yes, oh, yes, and I'll jump up out of the seat sometimes, you know, and I'll just go running through the house and just whatever. Oh, yes, that's it. And then other times I'll go, what does that mean, God? What does that mean? I gotta explain this. I know what it means in my heart. It ain't coming out my mouth. So you just have to pray a little more, and you got to do all this kind of stuff. But, man, I was putting this together. I was jumping up and down in the aisle, so to speak. If we don't take that free gift, we are then just left a part of the mess down here. That's all. And then after all this mess, hell for eternity. Whoa. Great, great news, huh? I'd rather take the good news of the gospel instead of that. Paul describes the mess down here, in case anyone doesn't understand it. I think we catch on here. Anyone listening may not understand. Paul describes the mess down here so very well in Romans 3, verses 13 to 17. And boy, I tell you, this is where pride comes in, because you don't want to admit it. But this is what he said. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. Wow. That's a wrap-up of the Adam nature, but you don't have to have it stay in you. And if you just have a little bit of it, or if you have a strong bit of it, it makes no difference. A little piece of dirt, a big piece of dirt. It is not pure, and only the pure, the holy, and the unclean are going to be in the presence of God. And after reading some of those scriptures and hearing some of that, if you don't think you have a need for a new life, I'll tell you, it's going to be a long journey. But God loves you, and if you still don't understand what I'm saying, and anyone's bucking against it and going, I don't believe that, then we're still going to pray for you, and we're still going to ask God to break down some of those walls. And there's a lot of reasons for the walls and that were in my life previously and before I came to know the Lord, and they're in the lives of others. So we need to be good prayer partners. But I want you to ponder on the things that I just shared. I want you to sit in God's presence and ask Him to have those things, like I said, just to soak in your heart. When you have to really, truly understand that you need God. None of what I said is going to make any difference to anyone. You have to need God. Only then can you understand the need for a new life. And next week we'll cover the way to a new life. I mean, so many times people talk about, oh, it's a new life in Jesus. And people say, I don't have nothing. What? I didn't get it. You know, whatever. It's a new life. And they talk about the new life, but then you have to know the way to get the new life. And then you want to know what are the results of the new life. So we're going to cover those couple things over the next few weeks. God bless you this evening, and hopefully you'll be able to meditate on those things and be ever grateful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.